Good morning. Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll be continuing in our series of messages, Love is the Key. And this week we're going to be talking about loving with our witness. You know, there's no better way that we can show the love to others than with our witness of Jesus Christ. Because without the witness of his people, how many people would be destined to hell today? Without somebody witnessing to you and telling you about Jesus, where would you be today? Yeah. Would you be on your road to hell? Or would you be on your road to heaven? Many of us would be on our road to hell because nobody ever told us about Jesus. I want you to open your Bibles this morning, and we'll begin by telling you a little story. One of the most powerful ways that we can love God and love other people is by sharing the gospel with those around us. Probably the greatest example of a person who loved through his witness is the Apostle Paul. When you study his life, you quickly discover that Paul was always eager to tell others about Jesus. When you study his life carefully, you know that was his main focus in life, was to share the gospel message with those around him. Whether Jew or Gentile, anyone in Paul's path was a potential non-believer, a potential person that he could reach for Jesus. Whether they were Jew or Gentile, Paul didn't care. Paul didn't care if they were poor people or rich people. He didn't care if they were down on their luck or up in society. He didn't care where they were at in life. Paul's main goal was to reach as many people for Jesus as he could reach. From the early days after meeting the Savior on the Damascus Road, Paul wanted to know the whole world about Jesus. He wanted to spread the gospel. Since Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, Jesus came to Paul on the Damascus Road, blinded him where he couldn't see. And Paul said, "What would you have me to do, Lord?"
Amen.
And he said, "I would have you preach the gospel." Listen, that's the thing that we all need to remember. We all need to remember where Paul started out and where he ended his life. He met the Savior on the Damascus Road, and he set his course on doing one thing, and that was telling people about Jesus. His whole life was consumed by Jesus. He went off to Arabia to prepare his own heart for the project God had told him was in his future. He restudied the scriptures. He came to Jesus of Nazareth in every line. He spent hours and hours, days and days, weeks and weeks, reflecting on the story of the life of Jesus. He wanted people to know, and he wanted to be well equipped to spread the gospel. And that's the way we are. The Bible says that we are to study the scripture so that we will not be deceived by other people that don't know Jesus. We are to study the scripture, a workman that being not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
We need to know the scriptures. We need to know how to witness, and we need to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to know how to think like Christ and behave like Christ. He wanted to know the salvation story well enough that he could tell it to anyone he met. So Paul thought of out in advance how he could approach the Jews with the gospel. And you know, in Paul's day, the Jewish culture didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They thought he was an outsider. They didn't know him as the Lord of life. They didn't know him as Savior of the world. Paul had a rough time reaching those people. Why? Because they were still stuck in the Old Testament law. They were still stuck in knowing and believing that giving sacrifices could save their soul. They didn't realize that Jesus had came to be the ultimate sacrifice, that he had shed his blood on Calvary to provide them a way that they might be saved. Paul, a man of God, thought out in advance how he could approach the Jews with the gospel. In a word, he would begin with their shared belief in the writings of Moses and the prophets. From that base, he would prove that Jesus of Nazareth fulfills every divinely given prediction about the Messiah. Then he asked his fellow Jews to accept him as God's anointed one and to see Christianity as the fulfillment of Judaism. Paul formulated a plan for reaching the many non-Jews of his day who were honest truth seekers and moralists. Some knew little of the Hebrew Bible through their contact with pious Jews at the synagogue of their city, but most knew nothing of true scripture. They knew nothing about Jesus because Jesus was not taught in the synagogues. Jesus was not taught by the pious Jews. They did not have a true meaning of the gospel message. They knew certain Greek philosophers and poets who had longed for a higher plane of living than the debauchery and immortality that was so prevalent in their day. His plan with these people was to affirm their longings and to offer Jesus as the single best hope for their fulfillment, not as the Jewish Savior, but as the Savior of the whole world. Paul did not preach that Jesus came just for the Jews. Although Jesus said that go to the Jew first and then go to the Gentiles, Paul made them understand that it was not just Jesus, the Jewish Savior. He was the Savior of the whole world, whether they be Gentiles, Jews, Samaritans, Greeks, whether they be Arabians, whether they be of another state, another city, another part of that country. Paul wanted them to realize that Jesus was Savior of everybody, not just Savior of the Jews. That was a very important thing Paul taught them in his days. Listen, in other words, here was his strategy, and that he would go out and tell the Jews about Jesus. Paul studied the scripture under Galileo. He studied the scripture so that he might be equipped to tell people about Jesus. You know, the Bible says we should always be ready to give an answer. Amen. For the hope that lies within us. Are you ready? Are you ready today? If somebody was to ask you to tell them about Jesus, what would you say? Would you tell them that he changed your life? Would you tell them that he made a difference that nothing else could have made? That he saved your soul? That he brought you out of that miry pit and set your foot on a solid rock? How much do you know about Jesus? Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 19 to 23. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, in other words, the Gentiles, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker therefore thereof with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to reveal how that our love cannot be exemplified and shown to the world unless we are a witness for you. Lord, help us to realize that we must get out of our seats, go out into the world and tell people about this Jesus that is so prevalent in our own lives. Lord, we ask you that you would bless this message, bless the speaker, give me the power to preach and teach, give those here ears to hear, Father, and we pray, God, that you would use this message for your honor and your glory, for it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
What do we learn from Paul's message, and what do we learn from his words in 1 Corinthians? Well, we learn, first of all, the world we are called to witness to. The world we are called to witness to is the whole world. And we can do that by getting out and telling people about Jesus. Listen, the website that I have that I pay for every month reaches over 1,000 people a month. And it reaches those that are may not be reached without that website. That website, I post my sermons on it every week for people to witness to, and I have some of the same people go back every week and some different people come on the website. But I have had, since October 2017, when I set this website up, I've had over 15,000 people that have went through this website. This website draws people to Christ. This website, and my main goal for sponsoring this website and paying for this website and hosting this website is so that people might find Jesus, so that they might learn from Jesus, and so they might exemplify and see that he loves them, and see that he cares for them, and see that he wants to have a relationship with them. Listen, Paul was not restricted to any geographical area. Paul learned to see everyone as pre-Christian rather than un-Christian or anti-Christian. We need to cultivate the same mindset towards the people around us. Ours is not a world where Christian presence, values, and lifestyles dominate. If you look around you, Christianity is under attack. Yes. If you look around you, this world is not primarily Christian nation. We have leaned towards the left. We've leaned toward accepting things that are not Christian-like. We've leaned towards things that are not godly. We've leaned towards things that are not prevalent. Now, I know there's a lot of Christians in the United States, but morally, we're bankrupt. Morally and spiritually, our nation is bankrupt. Why? We have ungodly leaders. We have leaders leading us down the wrong path. We have leaders approving things that are not godly and putting into law things that are not spiritual and godly. We have, and you, if you have leaders that don't do the right thing, how can you have people that don't do the right thing? Amen. Listen, if I was to get up here and lead you in the path of sin, you'd get rid of me as quick as you could. But what do? We vote in leaders that are ungodly, that lead us down a path of sin, that calls us to go further and further away from God. Paul was a man that did not ban those that did not know Christ. He was more than willing to invite them in. I hope someday to live in a Christian culture where Christians and our church in general are serious about our calling, faithful to our commitments and the light to be lights of the world. When I speak of our culture as pre-Christian world, it signifies that I'm dreaming of a time when our church will be so effective in our mission that the message of Christ will be known everywhere. I dream of the death of sectarian division and bitterness. I long for a time to come when hurting people will think of the church before they think of government and therapies or hospitals. I dream of a time when people will come to church for healing. I dream of a time when people will come to church and get their needs met. I dream of a time when people will come to the church and get in the altar and pray to God. Listen, I want to live to see the day that downtown arenas in Nashville, New York, Los Angeles will have bigger traffic jams on days when Jesus is being preached in them than when professionals or college football is being played there. In order to move from this pre-Christian world to the Christian world, churches like this one must help their people cultivate the mindset that Paul had. I repeat, Paul was eager to tell people about Jesus, and so should we be. Paul, his main goal in life after he met Jesus on the Damascus Road was to tell people the gospel story. Paul's mission was to tell people about a Jesus that loves them. Coupled with his eagerness, though, Paul also knew what to tell people about Jesus. He knew how to tell the gospel story about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He could lead people from a point of his understanding of their need to a point of understanding of God's answer to their solution and their situation. Many Christians I know have a passion for others to know Christ, but simply do not know how to tell them the story. Some of you are in this situation with your strong and compassionate faith, and it is my responsibility to help you with that. One of the things we need to teach more effectively in this church is how our people who love Christ and have been saved by Him can share their faith with people who still don't know Him as Savior. Listen, my goal as pastor of this church is to teach you how to witness, teach you how to get people into make a response for Jesus. Listen, it's very important every Christian is expected to bear witness to Christ and to help prepare hearts to receive the gospel. Listen, the second thing we can learn from Paul is the way to witness with our lifestyle. 1 Peter chapter 3. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 and look in verse 15 and 16, it gives us a great passage about our lifestyle, how we can reach people with our lifestyle. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as an evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation in Christ. Now listen to what Peter says. Peter says, sanctify, set your heart apart for the Lord God. Listen, our heart naturally wants to sin. The Bible says that this carnal nature inside of us lusts towards envy. We want to sin. We have a desire to sin. So what does Paul say? He says, sanctify your heart, the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that was in you with all meekness and fear. In other words, be ready always to give a response about what Jesus has done for you. That is the key. You don't have to be theologically knowledgeable. You don't have to have a lot of education. You don't have to have a lot of speaking ability. All you have to do is share your testimony. Share your personal testimony. What did Jesus do for you? How did He change your life? That is the greatest witness we can have. What did Jesus do for you? Where were you when Christ saved you? And where are you now? That's the greatest thing we can do as a Christian. Not all of us are called to be ministers. Not all are called to be teachers. But all of us are called to be witnesses for Christ. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth." That passage was given to His disciples, but it goes down today to you and I. Notice what it says. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." When does the Holy Ghost come upon you? At the moment of your salvation experience. You're filled with the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to teach you, and to help you be a witness. Listen, this was not just a passage for the disciples. It's a passage for all of us. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. We're all guided by the Holy Spirit. We're all taught by the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that empowered Paul to preach the gospel and to tell other people about Jesus is the same Spirit that indwells you today. He has not changed. The Bible says that the Spirit and God and all of the Trinity are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same Spirit that touched Paul can still touch lives and change lives today. Listen, if these things are not happening, your calling from God, you need not feel guilty that you don't know how to do them. If you are not called to be a pastor, that's okay. If you're not called to be a teacher, that's okay. But it does not stop the fact that you are called to be a witness. You're called to be a witness for the Savior, a witness to everyone you meet. In other words, the old hymn, "Though you ought to be able to tell people something if they open an evangelistic door to you." How does the song go? "If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say He died for all." That is a great song. Listen to the words again. "If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say He died for all." You may not be a good singer. You may not be a good speaker, but you can still tell the people about the love of Jesus. You can tell them that He saved your soul. You can tell them that He changed your life. You can tell them that He made you something special. If these things are not in your life, you're failing your God-called purpose in this life. My prayer and your prayer should be about unsaved people, should be that God will use your life to touch theirs. Our prayer should reflect that. Our prayer should be that God would open the door to all people that we need to reach. Our prayer should be that God would open the door to people that He would have us witness to. Our prayer should be that God would place people in our lives that we can tell about the love of Jesus. Thereby enabling you to tell the love of Jesus and say He died for all. And they lead that person to Christ so he or she can be saved. Your task may not be to teach, but it is to witness. That is, even if you don't have the ability to stand in front of people and teach and preach, you still must let God use your testimony to make people thirsty for the water of life that they are hungry for and the bread of life that they so desperately need. Jesus will be their satisfaction, but you can help stir their dissatisfaction with anything else than the blood of Jesus. Here's how you can be God's tool to lead someone to eternal life. It's not that complicated. You simply need to be conscious of the process and pray daily for God to use you for someone else's salvation. First of all, do not shut out non-Christians out of your life. Do not shut out non-Christians out of your life. How can you reach the lost if you never communicate with the lost? How can you share the gospel without telling them about Jesus? Listen, my friend, some Christians are so snobbish without meaning to be. In our zeal to avoid bad companions and to keep from being polluted by the world, some believers isolate themselves into religious cocoons like the ancient Pharisees. Jesus was a friend to the people the Pharisees strenuously avoided. Loving your neighbor was the point of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Friendships with someone who doesn't know Christ is the first step in breaking down the barrier between that person and the gospel. The longer most people are Christians, the fewer non-Christians they have and the less influence they have over unsaved people. Don't let that happen to you. Expand your circle of friends to include some lost people who you can lead to Christ. Secondly, let your life arouse others' interest in Christ. The way you live your life is vital. The way you live your life is very important. You lead people to Christ more by the things you do than the things you say. It's just like our kids. Our kids don't look at what we say, they look at what we do. It's the same way with the lost people. They don't look at what you say, they look at what you do. How you react to trouble, how you react to situations, how you treat other people, that's very important, my friend. Thirdly, move the conversation with an interested person to the gospel. When your life has generated the sort of interest I've just described, are you given the sort of answer I've suggested? The door to your personal testimony is wide open. And how do you give it? Maybe this simply: Jesus has changed my life. What does he mean to you? Jesus changed my life. What does Jesus mean to you? Don't criticize them. Just ask them that simple question. Don't ask if they're a church member. Don't ask if they're a Christian. Don't ask, are you a non-believer? Are you a born-again believer? Or has your heart been regenerated by the power of the substitutionary death of Jesus? Instead, ask this: what does Jesus mean to you? That's the real question you need to ask people. What does Jesus mean to you? How has he changed your life? Some people are church members but have no relationship with Christ. Others hear church language like regeneration and substitutionary atonement only to have their eyes glazed over. Just ask the person you're concerned about to tell you what Jesus means to them. Fourthly, don't press too hard. Judge or condemn that person. That is the easiest way to drive a person away from you, is criticizing them or judging them. Don't judge them. You'll be surprised at some of the things people will tell you about their families, personal confusion, and messed up lives. Don't try to be surprised and too shocked. Just be interested and compassionate. Listen, people will open up to you if you allow them to. Some single women's silence is due to the fact that she just learned she's pregnant. Some men's anger is because his son was arrested for drug possession. Somebody's tears are because of the divorce in process and of the disease that just diagnosed in their family. Just listen, care, speak of the love of God for all of us and our problems. Just tell them Jesus is the solution to the worry. Jesus is the solution to their cares. Jesus is the solution to all their problems. Fifthly and finally, keep things focused on Jesus. Keep your heart focused on Jesus. Keep your speech focused on Jesus. It's all about Him anyway. It's all about Jesus anyway. Keep your heart focused on Jesus. I'll give you a simple strategy. What Bible verse should you use to present the gospel? What steps of salvation should you memorize? How do you tell people the story to get the right response? I'm no advocate of cliche-ridden, memorized speech that lays out a sales pitch presentation of Jesus. I'm smart enough to recognize a sales pitch when I hear it, and I don't want to come across as anyone of a religious huckster. As a matter of fact, I don't want to come across as a religious selling religion. I simply want people to have the facts about God's love shown in Jesus and the freedom to make their personal response to the Son of God. As simple, uncomplicated strategy for presenting Jesus. Why not use the most popular verse in the Bible? John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Listen, my friend. First, it tells of God's love, for God so loved the world. Secondly, it affirms God's gift for our salvation, that He gave His only begotten Son. Thirdly, it outlines the human response to Jesus that results in salvation. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, we are saved only when we trust what God has done through Christ on the cross rather than what we might otherwise try to do ourselves. Christ, a relationship with Him, is the only way to salvation. Listen, my friend, only the work of God on our behalf is adequate to solve the sin problem we have. We must believe in what He says in the Bible. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to save us from sin and death. We must believe in that and show our faith in the living life of the surrender and obedience to Jesus Christ. Then we arrive safely home in heaven. We will praise Him forever for His redeeming love. In conclusion, unto those of us who know the salvation story and its author are God Himself and Christ. Christ is revealed from Genesis to Revelation. He is the main focus of Scripture from the beginning to the end. It's all about Jesus. Our task is to be ready like Paul, Luke, and other faithful believers to bear witness to Christ as Savior and Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. is the key verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with all meekness and fear. Listen, my friend, until we are equipped, until we are knowledgeable enough to share the gospel, we're failing in our Christian responsibility. We must have that knowledge to tell people about Jesus, to tell people about how he loved them and went to the cross to die for them, to tell people that God loves them so much that he sent his only son to die on an old rugged cross. Listen, my friend, it's imperative we get this message, take it and use it out in the world. Loving people by witnessing to them, that is the key to loving God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come this morning and bring your word. We pray, God, that this message has went out in an easy, simple, understand way, that people will use this message and take it and use it to win people to you. We ask you, Lord, that you bless this invitation. If there be anyone here that does not know you in a free pardon of sin, we ask you, Lord, that you convict them today and bring them to you. If there's a Christian here that's dealing with something that they can't hold on to and they can't deal with, help them to bring it to the foot of the cross today. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bless this invitation as only you can. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.